On Sunday, voters in Brazil, the world's fourth largest democracy, will head to the polls for a final runoff vote in the country's presidential elections. They'll be choosing between far-right candidate Jair Bolsonaro and Fernando Haddad, a former mayor of Sao Paulo running for the Workers' Party, also known as the PT. The race is attracting international attention in large part because of Bolsonaro's extreme views on torture, homosexuality, and state-sponsored violence. If successful, Brazil would be the latest country swept up in a wave of populist leaders. And for Brazilians, this volatile election comes after years of economic instability and political turbulence. Julian Fuchs is a Brazilian writer, and he joined me from Sao Paulo to trace the roots of the upcoming election.
The first moment we can find relevant would be 2013, when many people took to the streets to protest the PT government. At first, it was a left-wing protest, as we tended to have here in Brazil. And then in the meantime, after the first one, the second one, when it got bigger and bigger, it was assimilated as a right-wing movement. And then from then on, they started organizing themselves. They went to the streets again in 2015, asking for Dilma Rousseff's impeachment. And then after a while, they got that. And, well, all this structure that was against PT now is supporting Jair Bolsonaro, this extreme right politician, and things got really ugly in that point.
Why do you think it got this extreme to the point where Bolsonaro is could potentially be elected?
Well, I think it has something of a sudden character because, well, I don't believe that we have 50% of our population tend to far-right thoughts. I mean, it used to be 10% tops every last election in the last 30 years. But then there was so much rage and so much hatred. And there was also a media campaign against PT and focusing a lot in the corruption scandals that were serious, obviously. But they weren't only PT fought. And then people, this rage and hatred became a support for this terrible character, this terrible guy that people tend not to see, or they see and maybe they don't want to have the exact conscience of what they are actually supporting.
Is Bolsonaro exploiting any of the divisions that exist, the social divisions that exist in Brazil right now?
Well, definitely. Mainly the middle class insatisfaction. Because, well, during the Workers' Party government, during the 13 years they were in power, there was significant growth for the poorest. But middle class stayed more or less the same. So they were, after a while, closer to the poorest than to the richest. And this created some sort of dissatisfaction through a great part of our population. And now I think Bolsonaro is exploiting exactly that and has the support of these people, even though his policies won't do anything good for them. They tend to do a lot well for the richest, not for the middle class.
I want to read an excerpt from an essay you wrote and ask you to tell us a little bit about it. In your essay, you said, quote, "If Brazil were not drowning under so much rage, so much hatred, so much yelling, if there were just a single moment of silence, perhaps everybody would be able to hear the alarm bells sounding. Something is in danger." In many ways, Julian, this feels a lot like the moment in the United States that we're living right now. Are you concerned about what you see as what's happening in Brazil and also what's happening across the world?
Yes, definitely. It's a great reason for concern. And, well, perhaps we are now in the front line of something a lot bigger. I'd like to consider it a backlash of many other advances we had in this last decades. In Brazil, this seems to be the case, at least, because there was this progressive government for 13 years. And then you have this reaction that's very conservative and precisely reactionary. in Brazil, we don't have a strong democracy as you have in the United States. It's been only 30 years of democracy at this point, since the last dictatorship. And you never know when the military will get in the way again, will start gaining power and becoming something else. So it's a great reason for concern, definitely.
And in terms of those in Brazil and Brazilian society, who would be most vulnerable under a Bolsonaro presidency?
Well, first of all, definitely the poorest, because he has a very violent program for fighting crime, organized crime, and without considering the risks of that, and arming great parts of the population, and giving license for policemen to kill without any serious investigation. So we know that in the favelas, we'll see a lot more blood than we see now, which is very serious. And of course, there will be also persecution of the LGBT community, because he's been talking about that his entire career. Women will suffer because, well, he tends to be against policies of equality. The indigenous community as well, he doesn't want to preserve their lands, and the original black communities as well. So it's mainly the most vulnerable will suffer more. And we don't know if there will be something similar to what we had during the dictatorship, that was persecution of artists and of activists. He has said things that point to that idea, but we are not sure how he's planning to do that or if he's planning to do that. At this point, it's just a vague menace. And, well, many people don't want to see where it goes.
Julian Fuchs is a Brazilian writer and author of the novel Resistance. Julian, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you again for the invitation. It was great to talk to you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.